live from the Coffee Sports Collectibles Studios at Fox Sports Radio in beautiful downtown Somerset, New Jersey. It's time for the JT and BT Express Show, All Things Sports. Starring former New York Giants legend Billy Keller for BT Express. And me, legend in my own mind, Jim Totten. Usually we get some kind of laugh, but we won't get that. And also with us today is featuring our wonderful sponsor from Coffee Sports Collectibles, Mr. U Coffee. So hi, U, and welcome. Thank you very much for sponsoring.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Welcome to our show here on Fox Sports New Jersey, guys. We're thrilled to be here every Sunday. And as mentioned, we've got all kinds of things going on. We're right in the middle of summer now. Heat, Jersey's boiling. We're rolling. But at any rate, hi, guys. How are you? Billy, you? How we doing?
I'm always good. I just kind of get a little crazy when people start complaining about the heat. And this is the only time I can wear shorts, short sleeves, sandals, and my sunglasses, really.
I mean, yeah.
This is exactly what I want.
It's cold summer, right, Billy?
It made me feel good enough if I want to get in the water. It made me feel like that. And that's how I feel.
And you love that cool water, Billy, I think, right?
No, cold water. I'll be in the Caribbean next week, as a matter of fact. I go about five times a year because I got a training in the island of St. Martin next week. And so I can't touch the Jersey Shore. And don't get mad at me. It's just too cold. Even the other day, the water temperature might have been 62.
Yeah, the water is still freezing.
What's your wife like it? What does she want?
About 90 degrees.
No, 83 is my perfect temperature. I've been in the Caribbean when it was 79, and I had to put my toe in and slow the water. But at 83, I don't have to.
My toe. But no, actually, that's funny. They did say the water this year so far, it's freezing still in Jersey, but the water's really very clear for the Jersey Shore, which is rather shocking.
It's a good trade-off, no?
It's usually, and I love Jersey, but it's usually a little on the green side. It's not the Caribbean blue, right, guys?
No, not at all.
Right, and so it's good, but it's been a hot week here. There's so much going on. Boys, we've had a lot we're going to get into in a minute after our guest comes on. But we still, it's amazing. We still have hockey going on, which is incredible. You know,
Game 7.
Here we are, July 4th almost. But so many things to talk about. But we're going to get into all that in the second half of the show. But right now, we're honored. We've got a great guest coming on today, guys. I know him personally. He's a great guy. And he's the senior writer for Front Office Sports, the periodical, the daily periodical that's actually the Bible of sports media and publishing. It's tremendous. I subscribe to it, and I would tell other people to do it too, frontofficesports.com. But everything you want to know, and there's so much going on that I've said this, and I've said it to Michael as well, that I find these stories as interesting as the players in the games themselves, what's going on behind the scenes, the business end, the negotiations, the announcer team, the media rights. So we're going to try to get into a few of these topics now. But right now, folks, ladies and gentlemen, it's Michael McCarthy. Hey, Mike. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Where is the love?
Where is the love?
Okay. You know, question.
Okay. I think we're...
You guys can hear me?
Okay, yeah, Michael. Hi, it's Jim Totten. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
All right, my friend. Good to catch up again on this hot summer Sunday.
Yeah, same here.
I know, because you're a Jersey guy, too. So, you know, I didn't know if you heard our opening right there, but the Jersey Shore is wild right now, right?
Boy, it is hot. It is really hot.
Yes, and that's why we're in a very cool studio here in beautiful downtown Somerset, New Jersey, Mike.
Excellent.
Now, Michael, before we get in, you know me, how I feel about all these subjects you write about. It's true. I love this stuff. But I have to say that we've got, four of us here in the studio, okay? We've got former New York Giants legend Billy Taylor, the BT Express, co-hosting the show. I'm a Giant season ticket holder, but we've also got our sponsor in here joining us today, U Coffee Sports Collectibles, and our station manager who's helping engineer the show today, Jack Myatt. Now, those two, Mike, of course, are huge Dallas Cowboy fans. So you know where I'm going,
Mike,
right?
Mike's a Cowboy fan.
You know where I'm going, right?
Mike's a Cowboy fan.
When I told,
a giant fan, lifelong.
I know. And when I told them who was coming on, they're like, "Oh, great!" And you've been hearing that forever, correct?
Right.
So, boys, there's your chance. Say hi to Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Michael, great job coaching, man. Great job coaching my boys.
So, Mike, we had to get that out of the way, okay? But we've got Billy Taylor sitting here, and these guys are talking about the Cowboys. But at any rate, listen, thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes. I know you're busy, and there's a lot going on. But Front Office Sports, as I talked about, is just a tremendous periodical, and we enjoyed the reading it, and these guys started to look at it as well. You guys are doing quite well.
Thank you for reading,
yeah.
and I agree with you. You know, no team gets talked about more with such little success as the Cowboys.
Yeah. right. Exactly.
Ouch.
Well, let me ask you that, since we went on that, and I don't even think the Cowboys are worth talking about.
Billy,
this is my problem, and Mike, just help me and just give me your thoughts on it. You look at it from a business side; they're doing outstanding from a marketing standpoint, but they haven't been to the NFC Championship in over 25 years. They talk more trash than any team that's ever played. Like, they always think that they're supposed to be in the certain situations. I've always thought, even when I was a player and played against them 6 or 7 times, I've always thought they were arrogant. And it's just maybe because it was Jimmy Johnson back then. But then I didn't like when Jerry Jones fired Jimmy Johnson, because he said that anybody could coach a football team. He since has backed that up. But I think if he doesn't get out of the way, they're going to never win the championship. Your thoughts, Mike McCarthy?
I think you're right. I think, you know, Jerry
Thank you
has
very much.
Got to get out of his own way.
That's exactly right.
You know,
right.
He did a brilliant job at the beginning, you know, Jimmy Johnson, but he just couldn't let anybody else take any credit for it. And I think that the reason that the Cowboys are so talked about is they are box office. They're
right.
Like the Yankees in a way.
Right.
You love
them,
you hate them. But I do know this, they produce the highest ratings in the NFL year after year after year. And the TV networks would, you know, sell their grandmothers to get a Cowboy game.
Right.
Well, and that's why they're America's team.
There goes the Cowboys.
We're talking about them right now on a Sunday in June. No one, you don't talk about the Cleveland Browns. You talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Just saying, you always talk about the Cowboys. America's team.
See, here it goes, Mike. Here it goes. It's like unbelievable. You know,
you were on the wrong side
of
a couple of things.
I'll tell you a story.
Right.
No, go ahead.
NFL films guys.
Yeah.
I heard that they originally offered the Steelers the opportunity to be called America's team in a documentary.
Yep.
Right.
And the Steelers turned it down.
I remember that.
And then they went to Dallas and said, "How would you guys like to be in a documentary called America's team?" And they were like, "Well, we'd love to." And there you go.
That's terrific.
Listen, it shows you that's the Cowboys' second choice. Just showed you right there.
They
went the first choice. If you think about it, and then I go back, the Steelers were what it's all about. If you think about talent and talent, not just showmanship, and you know, and he brought in the cheerleaders and all that kind of stuff. I did like the cheerleaders though, because whenever they introduce the players, you have to run right down the middle, and the cheerleaders on both sides. There's probably, I'm not exaggerating, about a 50 on each side. There's the largest anywhere in the whole NFL.
Right.
And I didn't miss a beat. I had my helmet off, and I had my head on a swivel, and I checked every single one of them out. And I'm not lying. I do that every time.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's great.
He says, "You're welcome." Like, oh, my goodness. He's gone bonkers.
But, Michael, you're right, though, because really back in the day there, it was the Steelers and the Cowboys as the national teams.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of these young kids that are in their 40s now and things like that, right?
Yeah.
They grew up and those were the national America's teams, right? And it just kind of...
Yeah, so they were always in the playoffs.
Right.
And they were always in the Super Bowl. And, you know, they built, you know, national followings. I mean,
yeah.
I think if there were three teams that probably rate the best on TV right now, it would be the Cowboys you know, number one.
Kansas
number
City Chiefs.
Would be the Steelers, and number three would be the Packers.
Yeah, well,
they have national Chiefs. Following.
Yeah, I
the Chiefs have begun to get a following now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
The Chiefs, as a matter of fact, I was in with Pat Mahomes. I don't remember when, but he was talking about how the following that he's got is all around the country. It's not just in Kansas City because of the way he handles himself with humility. He never brags on himself, and I think he's gotten a bigger crowd from that. But very quickly, I just want to say this. The Cowboys can remind me of a situation where, you know how they're arguing about sometime where every kid gets a trophy? You know, they say, well, every kid shouldn't get a trophy. And the Cowboys get all this stuff, and they don't deserve it at all. I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs, they've done nothing. They haven't even got to the NFC Championship, and they're getting they should give everybody a trophy.
Right.
The Cowboys get all that. I mean, it's ridiculous. They don't deserve it. And it's all marketing of J.J. Jerry Jones, who I think is one of the most pathetic owners ever that I've ever seen, because he wants it about him. He don't really want to win. Did you hear me?
I agree with Jerry Jones.
I'm from Texas.
The only part I agree with you on is Jerry Jones is the problem.
He definitely is a problem. I like Dak Prescott. I think he's a classy guy, nice, but I just, you know, I can't stand the arrogance. Even the linebackers shouldn't be talking that kind of trash.
You would think if anyone should respect the Cowboys, it should be Giant fans because they haven't won less than to beat the Cowboys.
That's the Giants went to the Super Bowl 2011.
Okay, McCarthy, see what your
Giants
name
won
brought
the Super Bowl
up.
2011 and 2007. Cowboys didn't even make the playoffs.
Okay.
Another thing, Jim, that, you know, you want to talk about entitlement. The entitlement even stretches to ex-Cowboy players.
Yes.
I mean, how many former Cowboys get the good TV jobs?
Yes. Right.
Ridiculous.
Exactly. Right.
At one point, the three of the four NFL networks had Cowboys as their lead analyst.
Yep.
CBS with Tony Romo.
Right, Romo.
Jason Witten on ESPN.
Right.
And
Witten,
of course,
that's right.
Troy Aikman on Fox.
And there's another guy, Daryl Moose.
Moose was doing it. He's still doing it too, I think, actually, right?
Games. Well, we got as many too, because you know, Mike Strahan and Tiki Barber. I can go on and on and try to match you, but Cowboys talk more trash than anybody, and I just, you know, and like I said, I just think that
they're
ridiculous, and I just hope
brings up this. That's unbelievable.
But it's ugly. They're ugly.
Because we're America's team. Everyone loves to talk about us, whether you hate us or love us.
No, you brought it up.
And I believe Hollywood Henderson.
I'm telling the truth.
Okay, Mike, while we've got you, though. Okay, so I will do a good segue then, because we are talking as subjects as we talk about media rights. What's going on in this world of sports? And since we're jumping out about the NFL, maybe we'll start with the NFL. I mean, there's so many things going on between all the different networks now and their games and Amazon and Peacock and everything else. And I know you know all this stuff. What's the latest update with the NFL then? They're doing the Christmas games and whatever.
Well, the NFL is no respecter of traditions, not even its own.
Right.
They've totally taken Christmas away from the NBA.
Yes.
You know, by playing 3, 4, 5 games there. They're going into Black Friday.
Right.
They got Netflix coming in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're just taking over the holidays. And it's a little worrisome to me when I see the NFL or college football playing on Fridays, because they're not supposed to do that. You know, Fridays is supposed to be for high school football.
Right.
And high school football is the feeder for everybody. And if these leagues and college conferences start taking away that tradition of Friday night lights, I think it's going to be a problem for everybody.
That's a perfect way to put it. Filters down the line like that, right down to the high schools. The NFL, but the NFL is such a beast, you know, and they just, you know, and the commissioner, they've kind of got it going. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, I did sign up today on your site. I think it's a pretty cool site, interesting, and it's frontofficesports.com. And I just want to, what do you think about another Cowboy hater, Stephen A. Smith's contract? How do you think that's going to work out with ESPN?
Yeah, that was your latest story, Mike, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we reported that Stephen A. is looking for $20 million. And then there was a report the other day that ESPN is offering $18 million. I don't think that ESPN is going to walk away from Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
He's their biggest star right now. He's the heir to Chris Berman and Dan Patrick and Bob Lay and all those guys. He's a huge innings eater. First Take, you know, draws 400,000 or 500,000 viewers every weekday, and he, you know, appears on Sunday NFL Countdown. Right. And here's something for 400,000 or 500,000 viewers every weekday, and he, you know, appears on Sunday NFL Countdown. Right. And here's something for you guys, which I heard that you'll be particularly interested in as football guys. I hear that he wants to add coverage of the NFL. So he could cover the NFL the way his idol Howard Cosell did.
Oh, jeez. Really? Really? Oh, my God.
Get ready for Stephen A. on Monday Night Football,
yeah,
guys.
Right.
Yeah, but see, you know the networks yourself. They take advantage of anything that's hot.
Right.
And he's hot right now. And, I really didn't like him at the beginning, but then as I got to see his stick, I kind of understood where he was coming from because, you know, I've worked in all kinds of situations where people, you know, they scream and yell and whatever they do to get an audience. But his knowledge of the game is very good.
The way he
articulates it to the audience is very good, and I just think that that's probably the reason he's good. But let me just change it for a second because, you know, I think the broadcast field has really gone out there. I was kind of shocked when Tony Romo made that kind of money, and Jim Nance was kind of upset because he did. How deep is it going with ESPN? And they fired a lot of people to go to a higher level of performance with these new networks.
I think what ESPN is doing is they're investing in a handful of talents.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, the middle class there is shrinking. It's going to be a 1% type of operation where they invest $15, $20 million in a Stephen A. Smith, a Troy Aikman, a Joe Buck, and a Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, you know, is not going to make anywhere near that kind of money.
Right.
I think that's their strategy. I can't argue with it. So far, it's working.
Absolutely.
You know, Stephen A. Smith is basically boat race Skip Bayless.
Yes.
You know, almost put him out of business, where those shows used to be rivals.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons why, you know, he's developed new fans, as one of you mentioned the other day, is I think he's changed. He's not this screaming character anymore. He shows humor.
Yep.
He's willing to bring on new talents like Shannon Sharp and Chris Russo, who add a lot to the show.
Absolutely.
He doesn't feel like he needs to hog the mic anymore, and I think it's made First Take a much better show.
I have to tell you, it's funny, and what Billy said earlier, too, I was that same way with Stephen A. At first, it was like, who, you know, a few years ago, who's this guy, man, loudmouth? But right, he knows his stuff, he's entertaining, and I have to tell you, you just said it, Mike, I know that their First Take on Wednesdays is when Mad Dog Russo is on. I have to admit, I love it. It's the best couple of hours of sports TV out there, right? Those guys are so much fun.
That bit where he does, what is Mad Dog? It's my favorite segment of the week.
Yeah, the top five, or what's he mad about or something.
Yeah, I look forward to it all week.
I know.
I saw Mad Dog at the Super Bowl, and we were talking about it. He was like, First Take has introduced me to a whole new audience. They might have heard his name or heard him on the radio, but they never saw him on television.
Right.
And, you know, now here he is. He's 63, 64 years old, and he's got millions of new younger fans purely due to First Take.
They helped each other, really. Stephen and Hogan helped each other.
Yeah, he did. Billy, you're right, because he kind of brought people over to Stephen A. as well. You know, what about speaking of now, on the reverse of that, Mike, and for me, not a fan at all, personally, is McAfee. I know he's got, I don't know what you guys are.
I love McAfee.
He loves McAfee.
I don't like him either.
Right?
That Hugh likes.
But why do you guys don't like McAfee?
I don't like his kid. I just don't like it. I don't know. But he's still doing well, Mike, right?
Well, he lucked out, Mike, and you can answer the question, when he was able to get Aaron Rodgers on a weekly basis. That really brought his level of play up. And I think, you know, it's just timing in life is all it is.
A.J. Hawk helped with that.
McAfee, his numbers have been a bit underwhelming.
Right.
I think given the huge, lead-in he has with First Take.
Right.
But I think he's very well-liked amongst ESPN bosses. I mean, he never would have got away with attacking Norby Williamson if he wasn't. And, you know, as Billy just said, you know, nobody gets better guests.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets Peyton Manning.
Right.
He gets Aaron Rodgers, he gets Bill Belichick.
Right.
He's going to do probably going to do weekly interviews with Caitlin Clark. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, that might have sailed now.
That's unreal. That's unreal.
But he has the best guest list of anybody. And I think, you know, as you said, that's a huge part of his show, because particularly when Aaron Rodgers wasn't really dealing with the New York press,
I know.
You had to watch Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
To see what
that
he
was
had
the
to
only
say.
Way we got in, yeah, we, the only way we got information was through McAfee.
Hey, Mike, speaking of McAfee, you think he'll sign his game day contract for ESPN?
I think he will. I think he, you know, he's very, very tight with Herb Street.
Yeah.
I think he's a perfect natural fit for, Coach Corso when, you know, he finally retires. Pat McAfee is incredibly thin-skinned and insecure.
Yes.
I've never seen a talent this thin-skinned. He can't handle criticism.
Yep.
He wants worship. Yep. He wants everybody to think he's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that's the only reason I don't like him.
And if somebody doesn't agree with that, he gets all bent out of shape. So, develop a thicker skin if he's going to be in these big roles.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, too. But I know we don't have a lot of time, Mike, and we're talking to Mike McCarthy with Front Office Sports, Billy Taylor, and JT here each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12. And, Mike, my question, too, and I was just going to switch it around. They had this ceremony for Willie Mays at the Negro Leagues, and then it made me think for the first time, it made me think because they brought out Barry Bonds, and I was thinking, and the guy said that he thought that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame, and I was thinking that they shouldn't, but then again, he was talking about, and you have to supplement it by saying it's an era for baseball. That era did this because a lot of, I would say 80% of the players did it, so why would they be excluded from doing something? And then Barry Bonds was the best I have ever seen being a baseball fan and not being able to get a pitch to hit.
Yeah, that was a great telecast the other night. Baseball, no sport does tradition and history as well as baseball. And no network covers history and tradition as well as Fox. I mean,
that was a terrific telecast.
I thought, you know, Reggie was great.
Yeah.
You know, talking about his experiences in Birmingham.
Yep.
You know, Barry Bonds, wow, who knew? And you're right, it was just terrific TV.
You know, at these guys, too, over at Fox, they're going through some transitions, too. And actually, let's go get into a couple of the others then. That was the NFL. Okay, the big meteorites, obviously news, Mike, is the NBA. And you're all over it, and these negotiations, and TNT's trying to hold on, and and Charles Barkley, what's the latest update with all of that good stuff after their average ratings for the lousy Celtic Mavs final?
Well, the way it is shaping up, it's looking like the NBA is going to go with ESPN, Amazon, and a return by NBC, you know what I mean?
Wow.
The former home of Round Bowl Rock.
Right.
However, don't count TNT out. I mean, everybody was counting them out of the game a month ago. They're still in there swinging. They're still trying to, you know, get a little fourth package, which would be cheaper and more palatable to Wall Street.
Yeah.
And they still have matching rights.
Yeah.
So, you know, what those matching rights entail, you know, might end up the result of a lawsuit. Now, does TNT want to be in the position of suing a league and a former
right
partner? I don't know.
I know.
But they do have the right.
It's an awkward situation. And based on, because I'm stealing it from your story, but based on these contracts are so old, and it was before so many things have changed, right?
That's right. The contracts are over a decade old. And at the time, I think the networks and the league deliberately made the matching rights vague, you know, to give them some wiggle room.
Right.
Now, making it so vague could come back to haunt them because now, you know, everybody's going to have a different definition of what's a match.
Right.
So let's say TNT tries to match Amazon. They'll say, well, you know, we're going to match them, you know what I mean, in price. And then Amazon and the league can come back and say, well, you can't, you know, match 250 million Amazon Prime customers around the globe.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's impossible. So, you know, it ends up in court.
Go ahead,
Billy. It's just amazing.
What's interesting for me is that I used to be the beat reporter for the New Jersey Nets, so I went to all the games and did all the stuff and looked at it. And I used to wonder, even now sometimes I watch during the war, why are there not a lot of people in the stands at certain games and how they've been able to pay all this money? And then I saw something where their globalization of NBA basketball has gone off the top. I mean, look at all those global players they have. I mean, look at the recent playoffs. But question is, they say that China gives the NBA $1 billion before the start of the season just to have the rights to televise that game. How many other countries are doing that and the NBA streaming that kind of money?
Yeah, you're right. The NBA and MLB are by far the most successful leagues internationally.
Right.
They truly are global leagues with global fan bases. And it's one of the few areas where the NFL is playing catch-up.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned China. That's a huge market. I'll give you another huge market for the NBA, which is Brazil. Amazon has had streaming rights to the NBA in Brazil for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why Amazon and the NBA already know each other. They're already doing business with each other.
Right.
So it's not a big deal for Amazon to take over a U.S. package when they have it in Brazil.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. So I saw on your site, frontofficesports.com, the case between the NFL Sunday Ticket and L.A. bar owners and restaurant owners and some individuals. It's pretty interesting. How do you think that will play out?
I think the NFL is going to win the case. They usually get their way.
Surprise.
Although it is though it is interesting that it's gone this far. You know what I mean? I think another interesting thing that will come out of this, you know, on a side note, is that 110 billion deals for media rights that the NFL signed a couple of years ago.
Amazing.
That already looks like a bargain.
I know. So, it's unbelievable.
So from what I understand, those 11-year deals have an opt-out clause in 7 years.
Okay.
Which means the NFL could turn around and say to all its partners, you know what, guys? At the 7-year mark, we're going to renegotiate everything, and we want more money. And they'll get it.
Unbelievable. Billy?
Well, okay. I'm disappointed, Mike, because in the NFL, they're kind of disrespecting the running back. You know, he's getting less money than every four.
Right.
Taking it personal?
I'm definitely taking it personal. But I talked to Saquon Barkley, and I can't believe that he is not one of the probably the seventh or eighth highest paid on his team.
Right.
But question being, a couple years ago, maybe more than that, they had a salary cap for new quarterbacks coming out of college. I think that my own thought process is just getting ridiculous because a guy like Trevor Lawrence goes up to be the highest paid quarterback. He hadn't done anything. I think Pat Mahomes is number 8 or 9 as far as highest paid. Should they put a cap on this? Because it may hurt teams, you know, that are trying to get other players, because you got a quarterback making 1/4 of your payroll and still not doing nothing. I mean, Dak hadn't made it to the Super Bowl, and he's one of the higher paid guys.
Here we go.
I think they should. I mean, the salaries for quarterback and now wide receivers are completely out of control.
Right.
Out of control.
You know, when I played, tackle football when I was a kid, I was a running back, and, you know, we all grew up, you know, during an era when running backs were rich.
Right.
You know, from Franco to Zonka, you know, to OJ. Tony Dorsett. They were the offense.
Right.
You know, and now it's completely flipped.
Yep.
And guys like Saquon Barkley are disposable. Who am I going to watch in the Giants this year?
Right.
That's going to be hard.
There's a reason I tuned in to watch them. So I agree with you. I mean, this whole offense is everything. You know, passing is everything, has gotten ridiculous, and, you know, some of these players are getting screwed.
Yes, absolutely. I'm happy you commented on that. I feel better already.
I told you McCarthy's going to be great on this interview. And actually, because we're going round the globe, as Len Berman used to say here, Mike.
That's right.
With the NBA part, how does the WNBA fit into that? And in particular, because last week's show, we talked about, you know, we're fascinated by the whole WNBA thing. Obviously, it's become a big story with Caitlin and all. From your perspective, I know their contracts are up, right, for the media rights. And
that's right.
How's that all going to play out, or what do you think?
Well, right now, the WNBA media rights are comically low.
Right.
I mean, just ridiculously low. They make about $60 million a year total from three or four networks, most of that coming from ESPN.
Yeah.
And you know, timing is everything.
Right.
And, you know, Caitlin Clark turning pro when they're same year to negotiating a new deal is very, very fortuitous.
Right.
You know, I'm hearing that they're going to triple, maybe quadruple their rights.
Wow.
Right now, the NBA is negotiating both. But I also hear that if the WNBA doesn't get what it likes, that they're willing to go off and negotiate their own deals. But I also hear that if the WNBA doesn't get what it likes, that they're willing to go off and negotiate their own deals.
Oh.
So believe me, they're going to get paid big time.
And you know what impresses me, Mike, is that I covered the WNBA when it started out in 2000, whenever I started in 2000, 2001, somewhere like that. I've seen it grow so exponentially, and I just think that they're on their way, and all they needed was something to bring out new fans who had never joined. It's almost like a Taylor Swift situation. And I just thought, I think now this is the best I've ever seen. Even the talent is outstanding, and I think Caitlin has a lot to do with this lady named Angel Fisher. She's doing a pretty good job of it also.
Right.
They play today at 4 o'clock on TV. They say the game is sold out, and the tickets are around less than $400 a ticket. That's showing you the growth of the WNBA right there.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, this could be the most watched WNBA game of all time. Caitlin Clark has already set, you know, 6 different TV records as a pro after drawing ridiculous audiences as a college player. I mean, this year for the first time, guys, the NCAA Women's Championship game outdrew the men. That would never happen.
Unbelievable.
It wasn't even a choice, but they did it easily, and that was because of Caitlin Clark.
Unbelievable.
I think women are taking over.
You think?
They should have taken over a long time ago.
Billy, your phone's ringing. It's your wife. You better get that picked
up. I'm not married. You got the wrong guy, man. It was your wife.
Michael, again, I'm going around here. Back to the MLB. Okay, and I know this, and here we are in New York, and Yankee fans, and all right, the Cowboy guys are Met fans. It's unbelievable, these two. God, what a setup.
I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Cowboy Yankees. Hang on.
Sorry.
See Jimmy creates stuff.
But the MLB, right, with these streaming networks, with Amazon Prime and the games, and what's the other one, Peacock?
Apple.
Oh, Apple, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, what's your feeling on this, Mike? How they're doing this? Is it kind of just roughshod? They're just throwing these packages together?
It drives me nuts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Me too.
It bring back the cable bundle, for God's sake.
Right.
You know, it was like when I had my old cable bundle, I knew where every game was.
Right.
I could find every game. And I was paying a hell of a lot less than I'm paying now. You know, right now I've got like 6 different streaming services.
I know, and we all do.
ESPN wants to charge us for another one.
Yeah.
You know, Venue, Hulu, whatever.
That Disney Hulu one's coming out, right?
Yeah.
thanks.
Make it stop.
But is MLB, are they making the money you think they should be making from these guys? Or is this just on the, beginning of this?
No, they are, you know, look, all kidding aside, you know, as a business move, you know, these leagues see people going to streaming. I mean, we're at a certain age where we're used to the cable bundle. But, you know, my kids, you know, probably don't even know what cable TV is. You know, they stream everything and they play everything on demand. So this is the way the world is moving. This is the way consumers are moving. And the leagues feel like they have to get on top of it. But, you know, take a look at the NBA. This is a perfect example of how things change. You know, 25 years ago, the NBA took the risk of moving most of their games off broadcast TV and moving it to a relatively new platform of pay cable television, right? And everybody was freaking out.
Yes.
You know, oh, my God, I got to pay for, you know, to watch the NBA. And now they're doing the same exact thing. Now that the cable bundle is crumbling, they're making everybody move to pay streaming. So it's just the way of the world, and there's not much consumers can do about it.
But Mike, looking at the whole broadcast industry, I see more podcasts than I've ever seen in my entire life.
Everybody
and their mother has one. So how does that affect the whole kind of like business point of sports?
Podcasts are the new black, right? You know what I mean? You have to have a podcast or you're not fashionable. I think what it does is the very, very few podcasts that are successful become shows. And what I mean by that is you take Shannon Sharp with Club Shay Shay, right?
Yep.
He has a podcast. You know, he turns it into a show. He has a comedian comes down. He breaks the internet. Well, now it's not a podcast anymore. It's a business.
Right.
And, you know, these really top talents like Shannon Sharp and like Stephen A. Smith and like Pat McAfee are able to take their podcast, turn them into a business, and that gives them an independence that a lot of these talents never had any before. You know, how did Pat McAfee get away with, you know, calling Norby Williamson a rat and all that stuff?
Nobody
in the history of the four letters ever would have gotten away. And the reason he got away with it is because he's not an employee. He's independent.
Right.
They lease his show.
Right.
So he has a power and independence that other talents don't have. And to your question, you know, what is the impact of podcasts, which is, I think that's it. If you have a successful podcast, which you could turn into a YouTube show, now you've got yourself a business, and that gives you a lot of power.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, to Mike, your point, like, I'm a big, I would say, I said before, a big McAfee fan, and you gave the ratings for ESPN. But I don't watch, I always watch McAfee on YouTube for one reason, not to give ESPN any ratings, to give Pat all the credit. And also, and then when he only goes 12 to 2 on ESPN, then he goes on his YouTube and ESPN Plus, with to pay for. And then they, not that you have to curse, but they have cursing and stuff, but he goes to 3 o'clock, even sometimes longer than that. But so for the ratings part, I'm saying that I don't watch him on ESPN. I watch him on YouTube.
Right.
So that has something to do with the ratings for ESPN and stuff right. like that.
Yeah, for that
that's
fascinating.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and ESPN would argue exactly the same thing, that it's not really a straight ratings ploy, you know what I mean? So much of Pat's audience is on YouTube, is online. It's just a different kind of creature than we're used to seeing on TV. But, you know, I tell you this, I will give McAfee a huge amount of credit. He paved the way for all this stuff.
Yeah.
I think people saw what McAfee did and McAfee's willingness to just kind of leave contracts.
Yeah,
and going on his own.
Right.
And now you got Club Shay Shay with Sharp.
Yeah.
You got the Stephen A. Smith show, which, by the way, is the lead thing on his Twitter handle, not ESPN.
Oh, really?
You got the Volume with Colin Cowherd.
Right.
These guys are not employees anymore. They're entrepreneurs.
Right. That's a very good point. Right. They're not just hired guns by the networks, you know. So they have a lot more power, you know.
And they have a lot more power, and they have an option now. I mean, it used to be if, you know, you didn't get a show on ESPN or Fox, where were you going to go?
Right.
Well, now they're right. Like, we'll go wherever we want. We'll go to YouTube. We'll go to, you know, a gambling platform and take our show there.
Which
we'll
is
go
another.
Wherever we want.
Yeah.
Mike, do you have another hour and a half? Because now we have to get, you mentioned gambling and everything
else. I got
like
five more questions.
No, but you are listening to the JT and the BT Express show, Everything All Sports, here on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey. We're here with our special guest, Michael McCarthy. Mike, thanks so much. I know we're keeping you a little bit longer, but I hope you don't mind.
No problem. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
And thanks for inviting Front Office Sports.
There's another subject that you covered. I want to get into it real quick, too, is about, and Billy knows, both of you guys, but golf. And the whole, a whole LIV, PGA. What's new and exciting to report on with these guys?
Well, golf has never been this interesting in my life.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, right?
It's turned into a real soap opera. You know, I haven't heard anything new on
right.
that merger that, you know, was supposed to happen and fell apart.
What happened?
But I
right.
will say this. If you're a professional athlete and you want to build your image and reputation with fans, take a look at what Bryson did during the U.S. Open. I mean, this guy put on a clinic on how to win over fans and change his image and become a man of the people. He's walking around Nashville with a trophy and signing autographs during it. That guy put on a clinic.
Yep, and that's exactly how you're supposed to do it.
That was such a great Sunday, right? The back nine, down there, In North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't even watch golf, but I was even intrigued on that final.
Well, you know, if you're any kind of golf, I mean, to watch, right, Billy, to watch, you know, Rory, you know, and, right, and Michael, and he, you know, he's charging up birdies, he's coming up. All of a sudden, he's just parring these little short.
No, he choked.
Would that be the word?
Let's be straight. Come on now, Jim. Don't be beating around the bush. Well, you know, he had a 2-foot. Oh, am I right, Mike? 2-foot putt? Am I right? Maybe less.
You know,
foot and a half.
Three.
I will leave it three. Up to you athletes to decide if you choke it up. But I will say the best description of choking I ever heard came from Mike Lupica. He said it's a straight shot of shit. Right into your heart.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, when you do stuff and you know yourself, is when it counts. Like, Jim and I can go out and play golf and I get a hole in one and I'm telling everybody about it. He's at the U.S. Open.
Right.
In front of everybody. So everybody's looking at everything. Even the shot out of the bunker that he made that was outstanding. I've just felt sorry for Rory because he hadn't won in 10 years. And
yeah.
He was close to it.
Right.
I really thought he was going to go on to win. And it's kind of a shame. And I don't know how you overcome that as an athlete because it's got to weigh on you heavily.
Yeah, I mean, and what made it worse was Rory's performance that day. I mean, that back nine charge, all the birdies.
Right. Yep.
You know, this would have been like a magical day, you know, like an Arnold Palmer-like comeback on the final 18.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, he blows, you know, two short putts in three holes, you know, and he chokes it away. And here's the other thing, too. Remember, Bryson missed a shorty, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had a short putt, I think, on 15 that he blew.
Right.
So it happens to everybody, but, you know, you're right. I mean, there's choking and there's clutch, and I can't imagine a more clutch shot than that bunker shot from 55.
Yes, yards. Oh my God, oh
yeah,
my
beautiful God. Shot.
Unbelievable. Well, they also have another word for it too, Mike. It's called Greg Norman.
He did the Greg.
He Normaned it.
But you know, it's funny. Also, with DeChambeau, and I'm a big golf fan too, but. And I know about him, but I didn't really follow him all the time. And, you know the guy because he's a top player. But he was, like you said, Mike, he was so wired, right? He was playing the crowd, and I was having a great time because, like everybody, I enjoy Rory, too. So I was kind of torn about it because I wanted him to do well.
But golf needs that. They need someone.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Caitlin Clark coming thing out, especially with the Live and with the new players. They're playing extremely well, though. And I think that this could explode because just they need a personality like that. Your thoughts, Mike?
You're right. Golf needs that. I mean, if I could make one comparison to what I saw Bryson that day, it was Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
You know, he had that kind of magnetism.
Yeah.
He had the crowd eating out of his hand.
Right.
I mean, the only recent guy who was able to do that was Phil Mickelson, but, you know, he's past it now.
Right.
So, I mean, if he could be the next Phil or if he could be the next Arnold, that would be fantastic for the game of golf. And, frankly, fantastic for LIV Golf, which is challenging the PGA Tour.
It's an ongoing, amazing story what happened. You need another hour just to go over that whole thing, but it's actually incredible. Mike, before we let you go, one last thing, though, because we're right around the corner with it. The Olympics in Paris. What's going on with network television or, you know, not even network, but how are they handling covering all this in Paris?
Well, NBC just said that Michael Phelps is going to be part of the coverage.
Yeah. Oh.
They're getting a real all-star list of athletes. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's a very friendly time zone.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Paris is a great setting.
Right.
But I cannot get over the fact that those idiots at Team USA did not invite Caitlin Clark. She
100%.
Could have been a one-woman dream team.
And, you know,
they leave her off the team. It made no sense, not only from a playing standpoint, but especially from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
Cut in nose
despite really
the face.
Made hay with her.
Absolutely, right, guys?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, now, Mike, my thought process is also, even when LeBron James came out his rookie year, he got held back a little bit because he wasn't totally there, and then he began to come on and get on the All-Star teams. I think that the Olympics for women is already high. I mean, they're higher than the WNBA, so I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. I agree with you. It could help, but then I think I was talking to a lady who's in charge of some of the things at WNBA. She said she's only about the 20th or 25th best player in the league. She'll come up eventually and get, I think, top five, but I don't think she's there yet. And any league, even if when I came in as a running back, I had to earn what I got. I can't just be given it. I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think she's quite there yet. This is my odds.
I think two things can be true. I mean, I think there's a legit argument that he hasn't earned a way onto the team, but I also think there's a legit business argument that, you know, the Olympics are funded and supported by TV revenue. Let's face it. You know what I mean? We're not back in, you know, Athens and needed and supported by TV revenue. Let's face it. You know what I mean? We're not back in, you know, Athens in, you know, 2000 BC here. This is a huge global business. And you had the ability, you know what I mean, to do invite what could be the most popular player, men or women, in the world right now.
Right now, absolutely.
You know, to be the star of your programming. And you didn't do it. And it's just baffling to me.
I totally agree.
But see, I saw that they went to a special camp, all the Olympians did, and she couldn't make it because she was doing her college thing. She has not had a break since October. And I think she needs a break. If she, I guarantee, as a matter of fact, I can't guarantee anything, but when she comes back after the Olympics and they resume the WNBA season, watch how her level of play will have elevated because she needed a break. Nobody, can, you know, she's playing like her NBA schedule now. I mean, 10 games and 12. I mean, they're really playing a lot of games, and I think that that she needs a break, and I think she's going to have future times to be an Olympian.
But yeah, at least, at least she's on a private charter.
From a personal standpoint, I mean, being Caitlin Clark is a full-time job. And she needs a break to just, you know, get away from the rat race for a while and reconnect with her family and her fiance and all that and just, you know, get off the treadmill. Because this has been nonstop. Like you said, I mean, you know, the Final Four, the championship game. You know, and right into
right to the draft, and boom.
And then, you know, all this crazy, you know, Angel Reese rivalry. And, you know, she's got the weight of the world on her shoulders. Give the kid a break.
So Billy's right, maybe, in a way. For her personally, she gets a break for 3 weeks or so, you know, but it's been great. The Olympics should be fun, though. I totally agree. You're in Paris. The time zone is great for us here in the States. It's going to be a ratings bonanza again for these guys for NBC.
I'm really looking forward to it. And NBC does such a great job covering the Olympics, which is another thing, too. It's not just her playing in the games. Can you imagine the job NBC would have done with the piano music and the features and all?
Exactly.
They're the best of the world at that.
They had their features, right? They do best features of all. I have to admit, I miss Bob Costas. I liked having Bob as host. You know, nothing wrong with Mike, but Tirico, but Bob Costas was the pro man. You know.
Well, you want to see the NBA at its best. I mean, I did a story about the NBC getting the NBA back. Go back and look at some of those. Some of NBC's games. From the 1990s, when, you know, Costas would set it up with like a 2 minute intro. It's fabulous. Ball rock. Amazing stuff.
It was fabulous, you know. But, okay, you're done. It's Sunday. Take up. Go to the pool. But listen, really, guys, Michael, thank you so much. Well, I knew this was going to be fabulous.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be in touch again, okay? Hi to Diana and everybody else, and thank you so much.
You got it.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, guys, we're way behind on the commercial breaks, so let's get right to those, and then we'll be right back, okay?
Everybody sneezes, gets a cold, or has allergies, and messy, germy tissues are left everywhere because you never have a trash can that seals away germs where you need it. Now there is. I'm Dr. Howard, here to prescribe Tissues, the revolutionary patented new germ-fighting dynamo that seals away germy tissues everywhere. Okay, I'm not a real doctor, just an actor. We don't need a PhD to know that leaving used tissues around is gross. If you use tissues, you need Tissues. the amazing new tissue box holder with a built-in used tissue container. It's easy to empty and wash or spray with Germ Patrol. The amazing new antiviral spray with EPA approval for COVID-19, included with your purchase. Nobody gets out of bed at 2 a.m. to find a trash can, but you can always keep tissues within easy reach. Take it everywhere. It's perfect for people with limited mobility. Get tissues with Germ Patrol, a $40 value for only $24.95 plus shipping and handling.
We've all been here, but what little girl has had enough?
I'm Maya, and I've had bad allergies for years, so this used to be me. But I'm here to save you and the world from gross. I've invented a tissue dispenser with a used tissue bin. It's reusable and seals the boogies and germs away.
Order your handy tissues box today at tissues.com.
You're listening to the JT and BT Sports Express Show here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey.
All right, to all our audience out there, the millions checking.
And millions.
How you doing out there today, folks? All right, good. Hot summer day here in Jersey. Billy loves that kind of stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
West Texas guy and all that stuff, you know? But we're back, okay? And we've got a few things to go over. But first of all, wait a minute. What is that? Is that percolating? Oh, my God. It must be time for Coffee's Corner. Yay, Coffee, our wonderful sponsor. He's got his own little segment that I hear you're syndicating. It's going national, right? It's going to be all over.
Almost international.
There you go. Tremendous. But it's a little shtick we do, and you get to play whatever I want to talk about for a couple of minutes. So go ahead.
All right, guys. Well, first off, last week's question about the baseball, about the stitches.
Yeah, what was that?
It's 108.
108 stitches?
Did you count them?
I counted them myself, Billy. It took me all week.
It's 108 stitches on a baseball?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, wait a minute. I just thought of something. I hate to say this because Billy's going to be like, stop talking about your grandson.
Stop talking about your grandson.
But listen, so I asked him that question. He knew the answer.
I don't believe that. He's 8 years old.
The two home runs that he hit yesterday, we were looking at the ball. Okay, how much does a baseball weigh? And how big is it? I'm going to add on.
I think it's 6 ounces. 6 or 8 ounces.
Any clue at all?
Sorry?
You did that in a question form. 6 ounces?
It's got to be a question
form. Six ounces.
We looked at the baseball because of the stitch thing. I didn't know this either. Well, I'm going to just give it away because we got to get it.
He has edumacated us.
It's 9 ounces and 5 inches.
That was close.
5 inches. Yeah.
By the way,
interesting. Or maybe the reverse. It might be the reverse. I forget.
By the way, Jim's grandson hit 2 home runs yesterday.
And Jim Tiger.
Logan. 2 home runs.
Well, I'll tell you. Congratulations, Logan. He'll probably be major league next week.
I'm going to have to do a signing with him.
There you go.
Let's be
easy. He's going to bring him in
we
for
sign
a
him
sign.
Now. Right. By the time he gets 16, we'll make some money.
Get the contract signed early, right?
Exactly.
Before he goes for the big
bucks. We have first dibs now.
Right, exactly.
He's his grandfather.
We should have an in.
Yeah, grandpa shouldn't have nothing to do with it.
I've already signed him up for an agreement. He doesn't even know.
that's not legally binding. That's not legally binding.
I believe Jim. I do believe Jim.
I know. Right now. He says that stake.
Court Logan will get screwed.
All right, Mr. Coffee's Corner, what do you got today?
All right, guys. Here at Coffee Sports Collectibles, we are auctioning up. We're doing the Father's Day where it's going to be closed tomorrow, the Father's Day sale.
Okay.
Why?
It's got to end sometime, Billy. How long should I extend it for? How long should I extend it for now?
By at least another 6 months.
Jesus Christ, 6 months.
July 4th.
All right, you know what? I'll go to Wednesday because of Billy Taylor. We'll go to Wednesday.
Hey!
Go thank Billy Taylor.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
But also, we're auctioning off Orson Welles signed baseball, starting at the low price of $40. Just go to our Facebook page to enter. It's Coffee Sports Collectibles. It's also our name on Instagram. And I have a question for you guys. It's also on our Facebook and Instagram page.
What guy? I'm sorry. What guy was it? Who was it? What was the ball?
Oh, Austin Wells, the catcher for the Yankees.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you said Orson Wells.
Well, I don't have one of him. Otherwise, I'd say both, but I don't have Orson Wells.
If you get that, then you're not going to be here anymore. If you have
that's true.
I thought he said Orson Wells. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's how we bait and switch.
Grandpa.
We're learning all used tricks in the autograph signing business.
What do you think this Familia special is?
Take the pressure.
No, this also was on our, like I said, our Facebook and Instagram pages, Coffee Sports Collectibles.
Okay.
But what is the hardest trophy in sports to win? Or the coolest trophy. And for me, they're both the same. It's the Stanley Cup.
I think it's Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby. I think that's the hardest thing. It never comes the same way. It never comes out. Sometimes, a lot of times, the favorites don't even have a chance. But I do agree with the Stanley Cup. I do. I have a friend that played hockey in Sweden, and we watched the game together. It's probably the hardest sport in the world to play.
Lundqvist?
I can't reveal this information.
No problem.
It's probably the hardest sport to play. You got to skate and avoid people.
That's what
the
I'm
guy
saying.
McDavid is his name, who plays for Edmonton.
Yeah, McJesus.
It's McDavid. Is it? Anyway, they say he's closer to Wayne Gretzky than anybody's ever been.
Oh, 100%.
I watch him skate. I think he's a better skater than Gretzky.
Well, I don't know about that, but you'll see it tomorrow, Monday night.
We were going to segue right into it because we're trying to catch up on our sports. But the Edmonton Oilers have made hockey. Right. Amazingly, we're talking July 4th.
Two greatest words in sports.
You know, but they're game 7 Monday night.
Who are you
right?
picking?
I'm going with the Oilers. I love the story.
Because of sentimental value, or because you really like
I like the small market. Oh, okay. I like the small
I had
market.
You look at Green Bay and Kansas City. Those are all smart markets in the NFL.
Yeah.
The smart, it doesn't matter anymore as long as you got the money.
Right.
But for the salary cap, it makes everyone, football.
Yeah, but the bad thing about Canada is, it's 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
You figure how you're going to pay the players, and that's...
Right.
You know. Right, I picked Florida in the beginning. I wanted...
What is this? What you got it on tape?
I think I do have it on tape here.
Jack, do we have that on tape?
I said Florida. I think Florida's going to win because I think they're a better team, but I wanted the Oilers. And now it's game 7. I'm just going to have to go with the Oilers,
It's just great, though. I mean, it was so exciting if you saw any of the game the other night. Because that's what I was saying, especially us here in New York. What do we have? 9 pro teams, I think, if you count the Devils. But these guys have the Edmonton Oilers, or maybe the Edmonton Eskimos.
Right, exactly.
But that's it, man. That's all they got, So it's very exciting, right?
Yeah, but see, I think that Florida's going to win because you can't go that long without winning at that level.
Yeah, they're a good team.
They're going to regroup.
They're a real good team. Win.
So what are we betting?
some tissues. We need some coffee tissues.
There we go.
I don't want to take your money. I really don't.
If Florida wins, you get a tissue. Another tissue.
We have about a minute. Real quick, though. So, again, we talked to Michael McCarthy. Well, by the way, Michael is great.
Awesome.
But the Celtics, Mavs, what a, right? Billy, horrible.
What a snooze fest. What a snooze fest.
Horrible.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
No, I still love watching the game.
Learned a lot. Luka Doncic is a spoiled kid, but he's going to get better. He's a young kid.
He might be the Dak Prescott of the NBA.
I learned that the Joker is twice as good as Luka.
We got a lot to look forward to because nobody wins back-to-back anymore. So
yeah, I know.
Never know who's going to get there.
Right. In fact, they said the last ones to win back-to-back was the...
Golden State.
The Lakers. I don't think Golden State
Golden
did.
State
was it Golden State?
2003, 2004.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought they had said the Lakers. But it was really boring for me. I didn't find it.
And the rest of America, yes.
And the Mavs, the one game they won by 50 points.
That's why everybody takes
All right,
a break.
Guy. 30 seconds left. Anything? Any promotions? Anyone going anywhere?
Keep the sunshine coming.
Keep the sunshine coming.
The hot weather. Let's go.
Thank you for sponsoring again. It's Coffee Collectibles.
CoffeeSportsCollectibles.com.
Okay, good. So we'll look for your stuff on there. And that special sale now, thanks to Billy.
It goes to Wednesday.
It's going to Wednesday.
Thanks to Billy Taylor.
Send me my 10%. Come on.
Jack Myatt, sir, engineer, station manager, thank you for doing a great job today in the heat. We've got all kinds of... things going on, brownouts all in the area. So thank you, sir.
And
the Patriots up next. Go Patriots.
Yeah, that's right. Somerset Patriots coming on right after us. We love our Somerset Patriots. All right, guys, have a good week. We'll see you later.